The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Radio. Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
And welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, and we are coming to you live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network and our fine family of broadcast affiliates throughout the United States, Canada, Central America, South America, the Pacific Rim, the Caribbean, and now in 20 Asian countries on Aglia 2. If you'd like to give us a call, our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii. At 1-877-528-8255. My email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradio.com. Let me see the top five reasons why Britney Spears surrendered to police wearing a pink wig. You ready for this? Number one, they were out of blue. Number two, she's the new spokesperson for Pepto-Bismol. Number three, thought someone said to her, "I wish you'd just pink with your head." And number four, to hide the purple one. And number five, it's a very popular fashion trend back on her home planet. Yeah. Good old Britney Spears. And she used to be such a nice young lady. And all right, this is the last one for now. The top five signs your cat has been taking steroids. A number one dead giveaway is that the cat is now wearing a San Francisco Giants cap. Number two, the scratching pole is now kindling. Number nine, the cat prefers flaxseed oil over catnip. Number four, goes through the wall to catch the mouse. And number five, just coughed up a fur ball and it landed in Pittsburgh. There you go, the two top five reasons for tonight here on the X Zone. My guest this hour is T. Casey Brennan, and during the 1970s, T. Casey wrote for Warren Publishing's black and white horror comic anthologies Creepy and Eerie and Vampirella. He also wrote for DC Comics, House of Mystery, and Archie's comics Red Circle, Sorcery. In the 1980s, Casey campaigned to have deceptions of smoking in comics banned, which led to then government Bill Clinton of Arkansas to issue a proclamation designating January 1990 as T. Casey Brennan Month. Now, in his prose work since 1996, T. Casey Brennan claims to have shot U.S. President John F. Kennedy while a victim of the CIA's MKUltra program. Now, as of the year 2007, he lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is homeless. Hey, T. Casey Brennan, how are you?
Hi, Rob. Are you reading me? Am I coming in loud and clear to your audience out there? I guess you've got a pretty wide one now. Are you picking up my voice loud and clear?
T. Casey, are you there?
Yeah. Rob, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was just asking, was if you were picking me up. Okay. So this is the right way. Okay. Anyway, yeah, this is T. Casey Brennan. Recent interview I did, it's at homelessdave.com. It's a Ann Arbor webzine that has a lot of following locally, and so they put up my picture in my new look, my new homeless look, because I'm all dreads and all that, and it says comic book writer, band member, and alleged JFK figure. So that pretty well capsulized it. But that intro, of course, was from my Wikipedia page. So if you look up T. Casey Brennan, or just put CaseyBrennan into the Wikipedia search engine, you'll turn up the page about me.
T. Casey, stand by, T. Casey. We have to take a commercial break. T. Casey Brennan is our special guest, and we'll return on the other side of this break as we continue in 2 minutes with T. Casey Brennan. My name's Rob McConnell, and this is The X-Zone, a place where people dare to believe, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and dare to be heard, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern on the Talkstar Radio Network. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Whatever you do, please don't go away.
Lift me, won't you lift me above the old routine? Make it nice, lay it clean.
T. Casey Brennan's our special guest, and T. Casey, I was wondering if you could tell me about your new book, Actor Comic Presents, from the Actor Comic Fund.
Oh, great, Rob, yeah. The Actor Comic Fund is this charity. It's just called, changed its name to the Hero Initiative. Essentially, and this is my words and not theirs, it's a charity that helps out has-been comic book pros. So, unlike most charities, it actually works. So they bought a new story from me and gave me a little grant. This was like a year ago, mm-hmm. but the comic is just recently out at a bookstore in Ann Arbor called The Vault of Midnight, and so people are picking up on it here. But it's an adaptation of one of the JFK stories. But now the JFK story, just in case, you know, there's some of your audience out there that's familiar with my work. JFK story is called Conjurella Messiah, Necronomicon Monks. And it was a chronological sequel to the original Conjurella. And in the original Conjurella, of course, I alleged my own and my late parents' unwilling involvement in the JFK assassination. Conjurella Messiah was a story about me 10 years later in Toronto in 1973. Now, in the original story, it was about me at a convention in Toronto, York University, and last weekend of January 1973, and the love affairs I'd left back home, and my acceptance of this new role of comic book celebrity and signing autographs and so on at a university, but with flashbacks to JFK 10 years earlier. So the thing is that I mentioned a lot of celebrities when I originally wrote the story that were there at the convention called CosmicCon 2, and I mentioned Ted Nugent, he was there, Denny O'Neill, a comic book writer, very noted gentleman, and P.J. O'Rourke, yeah, was also there. And so the thing is that there were all these celebrities, and I mentioned them, but the one I didn't mention was Dave Sim, the creator of Cerebus the Art Bug. It's this internationally acclaimed underground comic. And he was there and, in fact, like, asked questions when I gave an address and so on and so forth. So he has drawn this new comic called Hypothetical Cerebus, and it works him into my reminiscence of Cosmic Con 2, because he was actually there at Cosmic Con 2, except I didn't write him into the original story. So I included not only Dave Sim, but his character, Cerebus the Aardvark, which he now says is partly derivative of a comic that I did with him called Dandy the Aardvark. So anyway, the Sim connection has done me just a world of good. You know, the homeless crippled guy though I am, yeah, I'm still that. You know, JFK witness that should be up there, all that stuff. Yeah, of course I am. But the Dave Sim, they had something called the Joe Shuster Awards in Toronto, and I understand the mayor was there and everything, and Dave Sim got up and gave an address accepting an award for Harry Kramer, who had been one of my publishers, and Sim says, yeah, and, you know, one of the important things that Kramer did was publish T.K.C. Brennan, you know, and he also published a big 1972 photo of me in, it's a kind of a, it's all the web pages have used it. It's me against this dark background in profile, so it's me from 72. But anyway, so there's Dave Sim up there saying, T.K.C. Brennan, you know, like, you know, top-notch writer, in effect, and he's doing that up there in Toronto, and, you know, a thing with the mayor. And, yeah, I'm hobbling around homeless here in Ann Arbor at the same time, but, yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's the book. That I get, but basically, you've got the premise of the book right there. Mm-hmm. Is that it's a charity that helps out has-been comic book pros, and called Actor Comics Presents has an adaptation of one of the JFK stories as a comic book, and begins on page 47. And I hope we picked up some Ann Arbor listeners this time. So for them, they can go get it at the Ann Arbor Public Library. I don't know how many libraries have it, but the Ann Arbor Public Library certainly does. So. Yeah, that's about the book. I was talking with people tonight. I also have another appearance with my band coming up. There's something called the Atomic Art Co-op. I did something called Fallout Fest with them the last Saturday in September, whenever that was. And I got on and I did my social worker songs that you can't play here, and my Let Them Rise death metal that you can play here. You did a clip of it last interview. I did that at Fallout Fest, and I was just credited as T.K.C. Brennan Friends, because I'm not with Frankenhead anymore, even though I have a CD out with them. But on December 31st, on New Year's Eve this year, there's going to be something called Genesis, also put on by the Atomic Art Co-op, and I'm a featured guest on that also, and I'm going to go on and do my social worker song and my death metal song, Let Them Rise. So,
T.K.C. Brennan, I have to ask you this.
certainly.
How come you're still homeless?
Well, you know, the thing is that after I got hit by the car, February 1st, 2003, at first I was terrified, and I definitely sustained some injuries. But mm-hmm. The thing is that... the ironic, you know, and you know, all of the attorneys let me down. You know, I mean, this thing should have been pursued. I should have had a medical card. I should have had an income and everything. And instead of that happening, the whole community, the attorneys and everything, I had an adversarial relationship with them. So, and the social workers as well. So, the thing is, the upshot of that is that. All over Ann Arbor, and in several podcasts. If you go to my Wikipedia page, you can pick up a podcast they did in Israel. It's called Kataro's Sideshow, and there's another link uh-huh. on Wikipedia called. Oh gosh, it's another.
But you still haven't answered my question, TC.
Okay. But anyway, this leads into it, because this song that I'm getting to that played in all those places. It's called Social Worker Blues. My guitar player named it. I hate the word blues in it, but it keeps saying, "Oh, there's a train going by now, Rob. That's the sound of a train in Ann Arbor." So the thing is, yeah, I'm down by the tracks. I'm down by the tracks. So anyway, the song says, "Hey, social worker, comma, and obscenity," and I say it like 50 times, and twice I say we're street punks. We're gutter punks, and I say that 50 times. So So the thing is, and then I say that once at the end, once at the beginning. So the thing is that, yeah, the system has ganged up on me, you know. Yeah, hopefully there are people out there that say, sure, this has to do with the JFK assassination, you know, because he went on and said on radio and websites and everything else, yeah, I'm a JFK witness. I should be up there testifying against David Ferry, but here I am hit by a car. Yeah, you can pick up on that. But the thing is that I've reached a stage in my career where that's not the main thing. Oh, there's the train whistle, Rob.
Isn't that cute?
You hear a train whistle in the background? Did you hear it?
But T. Casey Brennan, once again, I'm going to ask you this question.
Oh. Yeah, I'm saying you could say it's a result of a conspiracy. But the thing is that at the same time, whatever happened, however many cards fell together, you know, and the thing is that if it's a bunch, if later on when this is investigated by Congress or something, and there's a bunch of creeps up there saying, yeah, it was just because there wasn't enough allocated for free attorneys or, you know, whatever, the thing is that whatever the reason, it's like I've made this part of my promo, you know. There's an interview. I sent you two links to two different interviews. There's one on the Wikipedia page, mm-hmm. Where, again, you know, I take it and instead of being destroyed by it, I champion it. You know, I say we're street punks, we're gutter punks. Because the thing is that, like, in the homeless community, I don't associate with anybody over 30. I associate with the street punk community, and I shake off the old guys. I don't want them around, you know. So the thing is that in the context of that, and also in the context of my personal friends, I have a network of people that I can go and crash with. In a hypothetical situation, you know, where I don't have a place to crash that night, I walk around all night, you know. But, you know, it's fun. It's Ann Arbor. It's fun. You know, I don't walk all around all night with my tail between my legs. I go out and look for parties and people to hang with, and oftentimes they're important people. I've met WCBN disc jockeys, you know, in the middle of the night at the Fleetwood and so on, where I sit up all night. So, you know, it's I've made it good, you know. I'm not so sure that the I don't know if you heard. There's a magazine called Following Cerebus that did this whole biography on, you know, and the thing is that, yeah, the JFK stuff was a factor, but not a major one, because all they did with that was list the websites where you could read about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what they did was run page after page after page out of many, many different T. Casey Brennan comic book stories. They ran page one of like about 20 T. Casey Brennan comic book stories. But yeah, is the JFK thing a factor? Yeah. The
all right, I want to talk about the JFK thing after the news, but you know, you're telling me that, you know, you've got a band, and I guess you guys get paid for your gigs.
No,
you don't.
I only did one thing live on stage with the band Frankenhead, and that was at the 555 Gallery, and I didn't, you know, it was the promoters said we don't have enough money even you know, to pay to rent the hall, so nobody gets paid. And I still tease him about that when I see him. But that was the only onstage thing. The other thing, the other stuff, see, the thing is that there was, like, a guy that...
T. Casey Brennan, stand by. We've got to take a commercial break. We'll be back on the other side of this news break with some fine words from our sponsors. Poor T. Casey. We'll continue with his story on the other side of the news as we continue with T. Casey Brennan right here in the X-Zone on the Talkstar Radio Network.
Beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 6. you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob Vicano.
Where is the moment we need it the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. Tell me your blue skies fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone.
Welcome back, everyone. T. Casey Brennan is our special guest this hour. Now, T. Casey, what is your connection with the JFK assassination?
Well, see, when I started the stories, and, you know, and you mentioned in your news release, and I wrote about my experiences with the Hare Krishnas and my experiences with the convention circuit, comic book convention circuit, particularly in Toronto. But, you know, when I wrote those things, I was trying to show people, look, you know, I've led a really significant life, a life of my association with all sorts of top-notch people, some of them sinister, and so you should take a look at my statements about my statements in Conjurella, in this original story, Conjurella. You should take a look at those statements, but they haven't. So the thing is that there's no point in me trying to hammer that home anymore, particularly that in view of the fact, and this is very strange, but instead of putting me on the witness stand where I belong, they put me on the comic book convention circuit. I've got one I'm supposed to be a guest on in November 2nd, something like that, in Birch Run. I can't make it because, you know, I've got no transportation there, but they put me on the guest list called X-Tape or something like that. And, yeah, I've done a couple appearances with, usually with different bands, but I don't get paid. You know,
then why do you do it?
For sure, but you know, the thing is that all I can do with the JFK thing right now is present it as art. That's my only choice. You know, that's the only way I can keep it alive. Because obviously, if people had taken this seriously, they wouldn't go, you know, he got hit by a car, let's do nothing, or he's homeless. That's, you know, a joke.
All right,
or
but
whatever.
Listen to. TKC, we've got a number of new listeners since you were on the show with us the last time, and they don't know.
Well, I've seen that, yeah.
They don't know what we're talking about. So I'd really appreciate it for the new listeners if you could recap your affiliation with the JFK assassination.
Okay.
I appreciate this, pal.
No problem. No problem. At some point, hey, can we play the songs from the CD? At least clips from them, not the duty one.
I'll see what our engineer. I'll see what our producers can pull up here.
Okay, great. I've got a guy right here who can play them. So anyway, the allegation in Conjurella was that I had been subjected to programming as a child by the CIA's MK Ultra program, and coincidentally, in my memories. When it began in my life in 1953 was actually the year when it began, you know, that it was exposed and as having begun. And my allegations were that a CIA operative, David Berry, had worked with Dr. E, that I call him in the stories, and he was a real person that lived in a real place, and my father was obsessed with hypnosis, used to take me there. And on the morning of November 22nd, 1963, my dad woke me up, drove me to the Yale airport, had no idea where I was going. I was terrified. Dr. E was there. He injected me in the neck. He didn't go. Ferry flew me to Dallas, had me crated up in something. And I'm sure he went in there in his airline pilot uniform because, you know, I totally remember him, like, you know, with the cap and all that. And I'm sure he, you know, like initially, he took it off before he went to the window. But, like, he obviously, you know, brought me up in a crate and uncrated me. And I was just 15 years old and dragged me over the gun and I fired one shot. I no longer feel that that shot connected. But the thing is, what I did feel I had a moral, ethical responsibility to do was to go to the American people, to your audience, people that were on the internet, whatever, and say, hey, look, I'm a viable witness. What happened since then? I mean, oh my God, I got hit by a car, I'm homeless, the social workers and the whole system turned against me, and yeah, I'll make something cute out of it. I'll make something cool out of it. I did. The social worker song, you know, they play it on WCBN, they play it on podcast. Mm-hmm. It says, hey, social worker, comma, obscenity, you know, and that's the song, and we're street punks, we've got our punks. I'll make something funny out of it, but it's not funny at all. It's the American people taking a terrible loss.
Casey, how come you changed your story from being the shooter, the person who pulled the trigger that brought down President Kennedy, to now being just a witness?
Oh, no, well, see, the thing is, No. I never said I was the shooter. That was people that were, you know, saying things about me. No, my statement was that when I wrote Conjureau, I wrote it in 1996. I know what I said. My statement always was that David Perry and Dr. Earnshaw and my father had kidnapped me. That in that storage room in the Texas School Book Deposit building, there were three men. They were my father, my late father, David Perry, and myself. And Perry draped me over the gun when I was injected. I was terrified. I was locked in a box and had me fire one shot. I no longer feel that that shot connected. But no, at no time was the account. I mean, you know that. It was at no time the account that I was giving was it intended to be any moral responsibility on my part. I had been programmed by the CIA's MK Ultra Division to do just that, and by the account given my late father, that at some point we were being told that we were being prepared for an invasion of Cuba in which Lee Oswald would lead some sort of peace delegation to Cuba, including teenagers like myself. I was 15 years old. In that capacity, we were to assassinate Dr. Castro. But, I mean, the thing is that, at no point the account that I, because I wrote the thing in Conjureau. And I changed the name, the actual name of the hypnotist to Dr. E, and I changed the actual name of the town to Hopeville. And then when I wrote the sequel that we're talking about, Necronomicon Monks, then I named the doctor, and I wonder now whether I should have done that. And so the thing is that, no, it never it imparted any responsibility to me. And maybe what I should be saying is that I was a witness. You know, if I'm saying that I fired one shot, you know, while kidnapped and terrified and hypnotized and under the power of David Perry, who then took command of the rifle and fired at least three more shots as more shots rang out from the street. I know that for a fact. I heard it. I fired one shot. I hit the rifle with the palm of my hand, the rifle butt, tried to push it out the window. I couldn't. I fell onto the floor, and David Perry is going like, you know, oh, he like collapsed or whatever, and gets on the rifle and fires three more shots, and my dad says, don't shoot Jackie, Perry. Don't shoot Jackie, or I'll kill you right now. And but I was already on the floor, but I could hear those shots, and I could hear Perry say, "Good men, they could have left me hanging, but they didn't." And it's like that was my statement all along. And you know, like most of that, I put in Conjureau. And so the thing is that yeah, people, we wove a kind of fabric of lies about it as to what I had said. You know, I mean, yeah, I've read that I claimed to be the lone gunman, but that's stupid. You know, of course I didn't.
But what were you a witness to then?
Well, I mean, the thing is that I was certainly a witness to the conspiracy after it began in 1953, and my late father and my uncle Johnny, his wife Bonnie, who I call Conjureau, and their daughter Linda, who was the same age as I, and who in the comic book story in Action Comics Presents I alleged was also one of the child assassins in the Texas school book depository building, you know, who had been programmed by MKUltra. So the thing is that, you know, I'm certainly a witness against the MKUltra mm-hmm. program, and going all the way back to 1953 as when David Perry first terrorized me, and all the things that Dr. E did to me to terrorize me up to the Kennedy assassination and for a while thereafterwards, you know. So the thing is that, yeah, I'm a witness against all of that and the Kennedy assassination and the people that actually committed it, you know. The thing is that, yeah, you can come up with all kinds of mm-hmm. speculation as to what powers that be, you know, were behind the Kennedy assassination, but unless you know the actual story, that what happened was this hypnotist in Michigan was hypnotizing kids and flying them to Dallas, telling them that they're going to, you know, being used to shoot Castro, flying them to Dallas and making them shoot at John Kennedy. Yeah, maybe none of them connected with their shots. I probably didn't, but, you know, maybe that the whole thing was so we couldn't tell it. So it whips out so damn ridiculous, you know. But the thing is that I don't feel compelled anymore to tell that over and over again. I mean, yes, it happened, and I've reached a point in my career where people see that as art, period. You know, they can't distinguish it in their minds from, you know, the punk rocker songs and the intellectual goth vampirella, you know, creepy eerie comics from the 70s, mm-hmm. and they can't distinguish it from any of that. You know, they're not looking at it and saying, oh, it was some kind of, like, Clifford Irving-type hoax, or, you know, the guy is crazy, or whatever, it deserves to be homeless, any of that stuff at all. They're looking at it, and they're saying, it's art, you know? And the thing is that, you know, yeah, obviously it's better if they take it that way and applaud me for it than persecute me for it, my God. But, I mean, yeah, it's art. I did it very artistically. It's also the truth about my involvement with MKUltra and several JFK figures. You know, one, David Perry, that everybody knows about, and another one, Dr. E, that nobody does, and they're just not going to know what happened unless they know what happened in that hypnotist office in Michigan and who was flown down there, mm-hmm. you know, and who was involved. And, yeah, anything that I might ascribe to the motives of the people involved, sure, you know, that might be poppycock, but they did it, and I can say that they did it, and I can say basically when they did it, you know. It's like, yeah, I should be testifying, but I'm not. I did a comic book about
but
the damn thing.
TKC, you know? Did you ever go to the Secret Service? Did you ever go to any law enforcement agencies and say, listen, this is what happened. I know. I was a target. I was a victim of the MKUltra program.
Of course. After I got hit by the car, I did that.
Wait a sec. You got hit by the car when? A couple of years ago?
February 1st, 2003.
Okay.
And all, you know, I've sent emails to various public officials and all that, if they didn't help after I was hit by the car, they're not going to help. And the thing is that if what they think is going on, you know, is that, yeah, I'm a homeless guy, but I'm a very industrious homeless guy, and no, I don't get paid for what I do, but, you know, I set up things like my book on a bookstore locally, The Bald of Midnight, my stuff in the Ann Arbor Public Library, Actor Comics Presents, you know, I go on the stage with different bands, and I do my Defiant Social Workers song and my death metal song, Let Them Rise, and all that. You know, you know, if I can do all that, and people will say, you know, the JFK work, hey, it's in this new comic, it's really great. This is sure a great comic. You know, that's something. That keeps it alive. Oh my God, Rob! You know, that keeps it alive. But of course, I email politicians. Oh my God, Rob! I'll tell you.
Did anybody take you seriously?
No. Well, no. They didn't even read it, for God's sake. They didn't even read the allegations. It's just it was just stuff on conspiracy websites that was up there with, you know. Stuff about Bigfoot and mm-hmm. and UFOs and Atlantis and things like that. It wasn't the truth, but, you know, the people that should have seen it and called upon me to testify, they didn't, and they won't, you know. Now they've got to take a position. I mean, after all, you know, I got hit by the car, and they still wouldn't help, you know? So the thing is that they've got to take a position, and that position was that what I said carried no merit. So the thing is that, okay, until that time, and probably not in my lifetime, until that time, at some future point, when my statements about Dr. E and the MK Ultra Project and the Kennedy assassination are taken as factual, and things that should have been investigated, should be investigated now, until that happens, you know, let's just take it as art. It's not, in my lifetime, it's not going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the statements that I made, it's not the standard stuff, you know, Cuba, whatever, the mafia, I don't know. It's the MK Ultra program, a very real program that we began to counter what we said the North Koreans were doing in 1953.
The Manchurian Candidate. Hey, listen, T. Casey Brennan, we've got to take a commercial break. Please stand by. Exo Nation, if you'd like to find out more about T. Casey Brennan, he is in Wikipedia, en.wikipedia.org/WIKI/T._Casey_Brennan. And, of course, we're going to have a link to that site on our site. Welcome back, everyone. T. Casey Brennan is our special guest. And TK, what are you doing with yourself? You know, like you were saying earlier that you're hanging around the under 30 crowd.
We're going to get to that, Rob. Hey, listen, would you play one of my, can I play one of my songs in the background and have you pick it up? It's death metal, so it's called Let Them Rise. And when we do it on stage, I did it with a local band. It was called Narwhals Collide, not Frankenhead. And so we made a special point. We were just kidding about the Satanism stuff. But, like, you know, because it's a spin-off of my horror comics from the 70s. Because, see, that's a factor now. Adam, kick it in. This is completely obscenity-free. The other one isn't, but this one is. Can I hold the phone up to... the speaker, is that okay, Rob?
I don't think that'll work, T. Casey Brennan. The producer here is shaking his head. No, it won't come across clear, and we can't find your CD here. So, we'll play it another. We'll play it another time for you.
He said it wouldn't come across clear.
No, it'll
the
come.
Shaking his head, so said it wouldn't come across clear.
Yeah. It's a studio monitor, but it still wouldn't.
It says it's a studio monitor, but it still wouldn't.
No, our people say no, and I've got to go by what they say.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I guess what they've got to do is to net search for Actor Comics Presents, and you can buy it online. It's all over the place. And if it's the JFK stuff mm-hmm. that you want to read about, it's in there. The story is called Hypothetical Cerebus. It's on page 47. And it's out by Dave Sim of Cerebus, the Aardvark fame. The JFK stuff is in there.
Yeah, TK's... All right, tell me something, T. Casey. When are you going to get a home?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is that... Like,
do you like being homeless?
At this point, yes, because...
Why?
Why? Because the thing is that many people before me have lived lives as radical fugitives, you know? And they've lived good, and they've lived a lot better than most people. And so the thing is that's what I have to do. I have to live a life as a radical fugitive, and so that's fun, you know. Being in a band is fun. Having comic books. Oh yeah. Another one. Vampirella Crimson Chronicles, volumes 2, volumes 3. are both on sale at various comic book stores.
Excellent.
2 and 3, and they have both have my Vampirelli stories in them. See, I don't get even get copies of them. I can't even read off what page that's on because I didn't even get a copy, because it has to do with the way that Harris Comics bought the stuff after a bankruptcy by Warren and so on and so forth. But I don't care, because the thing is that this opens up an audience for me. It means radio interviews and convention appearances, you know, comic book convention appearances, going on with my band, all that. Yeah, I can live forever as a radical celebrity.
TKC, you know, Brennan, thanks very much for joining us. We've got to take off here. We have we're at the end of this hour. TKC Brennan, he's in Wikipedia. First person I've ever spoken to who likes to be homeless. I don't know. I always thought if you said that you had some information that was about the shooting of a president of the United States, that the U.S. Secret Service would be very interested in you. What do I know? I'll be back on the other side with Cal Korf as the X-Zone continues on the Talkstar Radio Network. Even in woo-woo land.